Under the sink, we kept a cardboard box for recyclables. And next to it were a quantity of brown paper bags for filling with garbage. The third kind of waste we generated in our apartment was the compost. It's the food waste, including but not limited to coffee grounds, moldy vegetables, stale bread, and bits of organic floof. We collected it all in a Tupperware container, and when it filled up sufficiently, I would take it out. Conveniently, the collection point was at the grocery store where I worked, so it was never any trouble for me to take the container. Compost containers let out a god-awful stench anytime they are opened, so the procedure was to always open and close them as quickly as possible. That, and hold your breath for the duration of the operation. On this day, our Tupperware was full up, so I determined to do as I normally would in this type of situation, and I packed my bag with the week's rotten vegetables, left quietly, and trudged off down the hill. I say trudged because a snowstorm had turned up overnight, and the walkways were all covered in a good 6 inches of powder. The world was hushed and white, while internally my waters stirred slowly. Happy snowflakes communed upon my hat, and I had jazz in my brain. I crossed the busy street that separates my neighborhood from the commercial district. The grocery store loomed into sight like a sea freighter in a squall. As I drew closer, I spotted the line of green compost receptacles where they stood huddled against the side of the building. I approached unhurriedly, head still swinging with music. I selected one of the bins, opened its lid, emptied the entire Tupperware inside, and closed the lid. I bent down to put the cover back on because the Tupperware still had some stinky coffee vegetable slime stuck to the inside, which was no big deal because all I had to do was rinse it out at the upstairs employee break room when I got there. I stood back up and came face to face with a pair of luminous yellow eyes. "Come," said the owl boy, and quick as a flash, he sprang from the lid of the compost bin and scuttled down the alley around the corner. I stood for a moment, transfixed. Had I really just seen what I think I did? I blinked and turned from side to side. There was no one else around. Snow sprinkled down on everything. I had only glimpsed it for a moment, but the creature had been about 3 feet tall, with an owl's face. It had tufted ears and was wearing, inexplicably, a miniature yellow and brown striped sweater. What? A stupid response, I'll admit. But I was momentarily stunned by reality. Apparently, I had two options. My shift started in 15 minutes and would last for the next 7.5 hours. A long day, and I was needed. The cheese was not going to slice itself. Plus, the company had a 25% off sale on all cheese and all fresh packed olives, which were also part of my duties. The store would be swamped for the last day of the sale, and if I were absent or tardy, my coworkers would be severely shorthanded. Or, I could follow the owl. I glanced at the door of the store. People were milling about, coming and going, all bundled up in their multi-hued array of winter coats. A cold warmth spilled from the automatic doors. I turned to the alleyway. Predictably, it was a passage between gray brick walls and a slab of concrete. A scratchy brown shrub concealed it from view, somewhat. I licked my lips, thinking, what to do. But the pull was obvious. I picked up my bag and shuffled quickly over to the alleyway and out of sight. I turned the corner to follow the little guy. Had this alley always been here? It seemed to stretch beyond the buildings it ran between. And there was no sign of the owl boy, except a single line of tiny footprints in the freshly fallen snow. Yeah, I thought, there's no way I'm gonna make it back for the end of the cheese sale. I walked along, still carrying my bag. What is this place? It was quiet in the alley. There was no sound but the crunchy squeak boots make on new fallen snow. As I proceeded through the swirling snow, two indistinct gray forms appeared at some distance down the alleyway. They rose up against the walls, effectively narrowing the passageway that much more. I stopped for a second, then went on. When the forms solidified, they revealed themselves as twin statues. 9-foot-tall giants atop massive concrete pedestals. The giants were gray, muscular, ogre-like creatures, and they appeared so lifelike, I thought one was about to pick up its foot to step on my face. Looking up met glaring eyes raging down from grimacing faces. One held a great sword by the hilt. The other casually rested an iron-studded club upon its shoulder. The duo were intimidating, to say the least. Like the Kongo Rikishi, who guard the entryway of Japanese Buddhist temples. Anyone who wished to visit the temple or shrine had to pass between them, and were anyone to try to pass with evil intent, the guardians would strike to injure. These two were no different. In the presence of such beings, I had to question my intent. Was I here with evil in my heart? I was just out exploring, so no. Yes, I had decided to bail on people at work who were counting on me, but there was nothing evil about that. Through this simple process of elimination, I determined that indeed, there was no evil intent to my passage. At least, on the surface of things. What of my deeper, less obvious, or more concealed motives that might still be secret, even to myself? How could I know whether or not I was innocently guided by evil? You must ask, came a horrible creak through the alley. It came from the statue. I hadn't spoken aloud. Was my mind being read? Your mind is known, came the echo. The statues hadn't moved a muscle. They stared down at me from their height. Some snow had collected on their faces. Ask, came the command a second time. The silence of the alleyway filled my ears. Okay, I thought. Do not say okay, just ask, came the enraged voices. They weren't going to let me get away with anything. It was clear that I was not getting past the guardians without asking the right question. Trouble is, I had no idea what they wanted from me. What question did they want me to ask? I waited for their response to that thought, but none came. The guardians just stared down menacingly.
And then it hit me. I am here to learn, I said aloud. Then I got down on one knee. I humbly seek your teachings. No, came the voices. The riddle was repeated. Ask. I wanted to ask, will you please let me through? Pleading with my hands and blinking with my little puppy dog eyes. But I knew there was no point. And then it really hit me. That really was it. There was no need to voice a question. They could not physically restrain me. They were fearsome statues, and that was all. I walked between the statues and into the blizzard, back into the Black Lagoon. There I was, cast out upon the fallen snow, surrounded in a mist of white. I couldn't make out anything in the snow. Depth perception disappeared, and I spun about in that featureless landscape, completely confused as to who I was or where to look. I walked randomly in every direction. Sooner or later, the blizzard cleared, and I was in a wild world of ice. The Black Lagoon was frozen over. Clumps of trees and grasses stuck out here and there like skeleton trees. The sky was blue. Lugging my compost bag through the snow was getting tiring, so I was pleased to come upon a mound of snow with the front door. The structure radiated friendliness and companionship. I listened at the door and heard music. Ah, good. I'm going in. The door opened easily, and I was suddenly in an unassuming coffee shop, just like the one I like to visit on my way to work at the grocery store. The main difference being the clientele, and that the walls here were completely covered with graffiti of every size, color, and shape. The beings seated at the various tables were of every monstrous description, but they were carrying on civilly. The atmosphere was calm and subdued. The music, perfect. I must have been staring because an insistent voice said, "Hello, can I help you?" in a tone that said, "Hi, snap out of it." I turned to follow the voice, and to my surprise, came face to face once again with Owlboy. I calmly ordered a hot green tea and took a seat at the bar next to a furry black animal that was a cross between an anteater and a silverback gorilla. Owlboy filled the teapot with hot water from the spout and pushed it towards me with a wink. I accepted with a polite nod of the head, preferring to maintain my silence. I put down my bags and looked around. The bar was called Oasis Bar. It lived up to its name, being a kind of oasis of escape from the snowy wastes of the Black Lagoon. I poured a little green tea and took a sip, but it was still too hot. I looked directly at the owl boy. He really was a miraculous creature. His head was almost that of a great horned owl, but less squarish. He had a humanoid body and his fingers were feathered. "What's the matter?" said the owl boy. "Nothing is," I replied. But in truth, there really was something on my mind. It had to do with my roommate, Mia. For all my peaceable wanderings of that morning, there was a part of my heart that desperately needed some tenderness and watering. I feel very possessive of you. I was saying this to Mia at our kitchen counter. She hadn't come home on New Year's Eve, and we had kept apart. She stayed out late to party, and I stayed home, keeping to myself. That I felt possessive of her was none of Mia's fault. It had to do with me not being able to perceive my fear of being unloved. Or maybe it wasn't so much my fear of being unloved, as it was my fear of being loved. Am I afraid of being loved? "Preposterous," I stuttered. "What are you thinking? Come on, speak up," said Mia. "Have you considered me at all?" is what I came out with. "I was really looking forward to being with you on New Year's Eve, since you were away the week before, and I don't know. I didn't have the energy to go out after work or anything, so it was just going to be low-key. But I didn't even get to see you, and..." I was finding it hard to entrust her with my vulnerabilities. Also, maybe I was caught up with burying them, macho style, instead of being my vulnerable self. And maybe I still hadn't fully taken the time to study what are my vulnerabilities, to see the fear beneath each one. "Aw, heck," said Mia, and I could tell I hurt her feelings. She hadn't meant to forget about me. She was just on her own wavelength. And now I felt bad, because I knew she always tended to internalize guilt and shame, and I was throwing more at her, in the form of calling her out as a thoughtless, inconsiderate friend. And maybe I was a little angry when I didn't think she cared, and maybe I was just plain downright angry that I kept having to dig myself out of dead-end jobs and failing relationships, because I'm really just a punk whose one love and talent is for making bad art and useless, uninteresting stories, and that I had a bad opinion of myself, which none of her harmless jives and wisecracks had ever helped, excuse me, coddled sufficiently for us to meld into wedded bliss together and begin to believe that we are happy and empowered lovers, when actually we act and behave more like uninspired and entitled complainers waiting for someone other than ourselves to take control of our lives and effortlessly spin them careening in the right direction. Enough is enough. How do we break the loop? Said Owl Boy, after I recounted my tale. "Yep, I knew it." He walked to the other side of the bar to tend to a walrus requesting a macchiato. "Hey, can I rinse my container in the sink over there?"
"Sure."
I had just remembered I was meaning to do that, and I still had the Tupperware with me. I rinsed it clean and sat back at the bar. I had a refill of green tea and gazed around the room again. Where are we all going? All of us creatures and characters who wind up finding solace in the dingy bars of alternate worlds. I had to laugh. I was feeling good again. I ordered some soup. It was really delicious. Creamy chicken and wild rice. All those yummy vegetables in there. Warm and nourishing with the hunk of crusty bread. Passing the empty bowl back to the owl boy, I stood up and left the oasis behind. Adios, said Obi. Outside, it had warmed up and the fresh snow was beautiful, blue and white. I wasn't sure where to go and what to do, but I felt happy as I walked along beneath the snow-bedecked trees. Gradually, things became familiar. That's weird, I thought to myself. I know this place. It was the local park around the block from my apartment building. It was 3 days later.